Amen. Amen. All the fathers, would you mind standing with me this morning? All the fathers in the house, would you stand? Amen. Give them a hand. Praise God. Happy Father's Day. You may be seated. And all those that are watching today, and a lot of our men that aren't here today, we wish you happy Father's Day. When you leave today, at the end of the service, each father will have a gift in the foyer. And as you go by, just pick you a gift up. There's a gift there for you. All the fathers, we want you to have a gift from us today. Just a small token of our appreciation to you. And thank you for being a father and a father that loves the Lord. We need many more fathers who love the Lord. Amen. So thank you so much for being here today. We're honored that you're in the house today. And our spiritual fathers as well. Thank God for my natural dad and my spiritual fathers in my life. And just praise God for blessing me with godly men in my life. And Mike McWhorter, speaking of spiritual fathers, Mike McWhorter's a great man who was in our church for many years. His mom, Margaret McWhorter, was in our church past several years ago. He was living in South Carolina, and we had just communicated in the last few weeks, and he was making plans. He had purchased a house there close to his boys and their families up in South Carolina and was planning on coming back through, headed to Florida to stop in to see us, and stayed in constant contact. Was found that he had passed away this past week of a heart attack, and we want to remember Mike McWhorter. The obituary, I believe Miss Jean has a printout of how to find the obituary, and that we could send cards to his two sons and his sister Pat up in South Carolina. Actually, Pat's in Raleigh, North Carolina. But I believe she'll have a copy of those if you'd like to get a copy of those to mail a card during the week to let the family know that we're thinking about them. But Mike was a mighty man of God, and there'll be a memorial service in some time in the future for Mike, and we'll keep you posted on that. But happy Father's Day. Thank God for our fathers who have gone before us, our fathers today, and we see some little ones coming up, but they'll be fathers in the next few years too. And so all that we do feeds into even more fathers coming up. If the Lord tarries in 20 years, it could be that little Rich will be a father. 25 years, be a father as well, a godly father. And so thankful for the men who are coming up and under the fear and admonition of godly men and women. Thank God for you today. Well, as we've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit are outlined. Paul outlines those in 1 Corinthians 12. We'll get to that in a moment. But we see that God has given us gifts. Why does he give us gifts? Does he give us gifts to put it on the shelf and to brag about it, to talk about it? Or does he give us gifts to be useful to us that we can enable ourselves to be greater Christians and closer to God? And that's exactly what he has done. Paul outlines 9 gifts. As we know, there are many more than 9 gifts. Elder Roth was just touching on one a while ago. There are many different gifts. These musicians and singers have gifts. And so there are many more gifts, but these that Paul outlined are 9 gifts. They're spiritual gifts that are for us to draw closer to God, to give us the strength and the ability to overcome things in our life. There are the gifts of that we've covered in the first couple of weeks. We talked about faith. We talked about wisdom. We talked about knowledge. Those are gifts that God operates through us. Why? So that he speaks to our hearts and gives us the strength that we need to persevere through things that we face in life. And we're going to continue on that today, even in the midst of Father's Day. But I believe that what we'll talk about today will be very applicable to fathers. Let's start with 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. It says this, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up," or to develop, "the gift of God which is in you." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness in your word, that what you say you bring about. Lord, you've never made a promise that you didn't keep. And so, Father, everything that we read out of your word is a promise to us, to strengthen us, to correct us, to encourage us. And, Lord, I pray that today, as we do just that, to dive into your word, Lord, that you will strengthen us, that you'll draw us close to you today, correct us, encourage us, Lord, to be greater for you, greater Christians, and serve you more. In Jesus' name, amen. As a side note, before we continue, you'll notice on Facebook Live, those who are listening, the sound is a lot clearer and brighter. Speaking of gifts, thank you, Colby, for giving of your time and the dedication to get us there. Amen. Thank you so much. So to have the equipment is one thing. To have it working and interacting with what we've got going on there in the sound booth is a blessing. So thank you. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, Paul outlines these nine spiritual gifts that we'll be talking about. It says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. We covered that in week one. To another, faith. We covered that last week, faith, and that was a great one. You notice that all of these are kind of compound into other gifts. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. We'll cover these two today in the next few moments, healings and miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all of these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Who believes the word of God? Amen. We believe the word of God. And this is in the word of God for us today. This is not history. This is not just for then. This is for today, actively, just as salvation is. We need God. We need salvation. We need the gifts. They're all right here. They're all part of our Christian walk that God wants to bless us with. You know, sometimes we get embarrassed. Well, I have the gift of singing, but I don't like to sing. I have the gift of working with children, but I don't want to work with the gift of children. So God stretches us in our gifts, takes us out of our comfort zone, to when we start operating in that, we feel much more fulfilled because it's a gifting that God has put in us to use even beyond our own abilities. Isn't that cool how God does that? He takes us outside of our boxes. And that's exactly the way the spiritual gifts are that he's given us. They're not necessarily gifts that maybe many times we can touch or feel or see, but they're giftings that are very much real and very much needed in our walk with God. But healings and miracles are certainly and definitely needed to be recognized and experienced in the church today, in our lives today, in our homes today. And so the first is the gift of healings. Jesus spent many times and events while he was walking the earth, for his 33 years of living on this earth, giving the gift of healing, distributing the gift of healing. And he left that for us to continue in that today. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:27, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. How does he give us that gift of healing? Well, we can't figure it out. If we had a formula, we've known that many people in the past have tried to come up with a formula or a box or some sort of a checklist. Well, this is the way we'll do healing. We'll pray for 5 minutes, we'll worship for 5 minutes, and then the healing comes. Well, God brings about healings at his own way, in his own timing, in his own ability. We just have to simply follow through and be obedient to trust God for a healing. But it says he's chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. So the way and the means that God brings about healing is beyond us to understand, even if we try. We can go to school for forever, be a professional student studying the Word of God, and we need to study the Word of God, but we can never begin to figure out and to comprehend the ability of God to heal. God just heals. I was a friend with a gentleman many, 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 many years ago, and he had no education at all, but God used this man when he prayed, a mighty anointing would fall on him, and God would use him to bring about healing in people's lives. So it's not based on education, although we believe in education. It's not based on abilities, although we're thankful for abilities. It's based on trusting God and having faith in God and seeing God come through and answer prayer. Now, I was talking with Miss Carolyn earlier this morning, and we prayed for her son, hit one of his eyes. And the doctor said that the problem in his eye was so bad that it would never get better. He was going to go blind, and the doctors forewarned him that that's what was going to happen. Well, what's happening now through prayer is that his eye is becoming better. It's being, the doctors are astonished by the ability that he's able to use that eye. Why? Because it's the gift of healing. It's by the hand of God. When I was 18 years old, as you know, many of you know, I was given 3 to 5 years to live. And that's what the doctor said, but it's a little beyond the 5 years now. And I'm still, not only am I functioning, but I'm healthy and I'm strong. And praise God, it's God. I'm reminded of Crystal's grandmother, Granny Lyles. Granny Lyles was one of the best cooks. That's why Crystal's so good a cook today. She still fries pork chops and does all those things that I dearly enjoy. Roast and gravy and biscuits and banana pudding. I mean, all those things. But Granny Lyles was, at 18 years old, Granny Lyles was diagnosed with a heart disorder, and the doctors told her then, of course, technology back then, she was born in, 1898, Granny Lyles was born. So she saw a lot. And so technology was not there. The ability of the doctors were not there. Medical science was not where it is today, not even a fraction. But she was given only a few years to live. And then, 61 years old, she made it to 61, and she was doing really bad. Had a series of strokes, and the doctor said, well, you know, y'all prepared yourself. Granny Lyles probably will not be here much longer. She lived to be 98 years old. And it's the hand of God. God does what he wants, when he wants, how he wants. It's amazing that God works healing through his people when we trust and when we pray. I was reminded of just this past week, as a matter of fact, a young boy, I think he was like 30 years old, and he had passed away. He was very young when he passed. And so his funeral service was this past week. But we learned that this guy, when he was 5 years old, 5 or 6 years old, his grandmother had became really, really sick. And he had he was raised in a Christian home, and he was stirred to go pray for his grandmother at the hospital. So he told his mom and dad that he wanted to go pray for his grandma at the hospital. So they took him to the hospital. He prayed for her. She was on her deathbed and lived for 21 more years after this young boy prayed for his grandmother. So the gift of healing is alive and well. It does not matter your age, like I said, your background, your education, your personal abilities. It all depends on the hands of God. And so in Mark 16:18, you can make note of this verse in Mark 16:18. After Jesus giving the Great Commission, he said, they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. You say, well, I've prayed many times, and he has not recovered, she has not recovered. Well, we have to trust God in that. It's you know, we're used to doing something and seeing the results. We're used to, you know, raking the yard and saying, oh, isn't that pretty? You know, we're used to instant gratification. We're used to doing something. We're working a week, we get a paycheck on Friday. You know, we put a meal in the microwave oven, it's warm, we eat it. And so everything that we do just about in life is, we see the result right away. But where our faith becomes stretched, we talked about that last Sunday, is when we can trust God and say, God, no matter what the timing is, we trust you to do what you said you would do. And it's having faith in him to do that. But many times, there are many times, even in our home, Crystal and I, if there's a need in the house, we hold hands together, we bind whatever that is, we pray over it, we believe, and we see God move. So it's just what Jesus said, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Matthew 4:23 says that Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kind of disease among the people. So God's plan is for us to experience the gift of healing today. And it doesn't have to be a special, you know, we can be in the grocery store, we can be at the office, we can be at church on Sunday. The gift of healing is always in operation. It's not a matter of what time do we do it. Do we do it at 10:30 on Sunday morning? Okay, we're going to be healed. That's a gift that flows anytime and all the time. Well, Paul, we see a story of Paul, and he was on the island of Malta. And the island of Malta, in Acts chapter 28, we see that Paul had journeyed there on a ship and was shipwrecked. And there are two great things that we kind of read over and pass over that I want to talk about for a few moments, speaking of the gift of healing. Acts chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. It says, now when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out. Now, a viper is more than just a little black snake or a garden snake. A viper, from what I understand, can be a water moccasin, a rattlesnake. A viper is a poisonous snake. So a viper came out of this wood that they had built the fire because of the heat, the Bible says, and fastened on Paul's hand. So it didn't just bite. It says, the Bible says he fastened on his hand. Now, you know, the longer a snake stays there, the more venom that will come out. The more venom that comes out, the more deadly it can be. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from Paul's hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom they, though he has escaped the sea, yet justice not allow him to live." But Paul shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that Paul would swell up or suddenly fall down dead, but after they looked for a long time and they saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said, "He must be a god." So they diagnosed Paul from experience, obviously, that this viper, if you get a viper bite, you know, it's dangerous enough. But one that hangs on, their diagnosis for Paul was that he's about to die. It reminds me of a funny story. Two men were out in the woods hunting, and one of the men got bit by a rattlesnake on his foot. And so he took his boot off, and his foot started swelling up real bad. So the other guy pulled his cell phone out. He said, "I've got a doctor friend. I'm going to call a doctor." So he called his doctor. He said, "We're out in the woods. My buddy just got bit by a snake. What am I supposed to do? It's all swelling up, and it's bad. It's looking ugly." The doctor said, "Well, you're going to have to wipe it off as best you can and suck all the venom out of it, get it real good, bandage it up, and bring him to me." He stood there for a second and hung up the phone. His buddy said, "Well, what did the doctor say, man? What did the doctor say? I've got to do something." He said, "I'm sorry, buddy, you're going to die." But this was not the case for Paul. Paul's there. The viper was on his hand, said he hung to his hand, and Paul shook his hand off, and he didn't die. In verse 7, it said, "In that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, and who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. He was confused or out of his mind. So Paul went to him and prayed. And he laid hands on him. There's a connection that God brings about in us as we trust God and pray. So it's not the power of my hands. It's not the power of your hands. It's the power of God flowing through us. So Paul went and prayed and laid hands on him and healed him. That's what we just read that Jesus did, remember, in Matthew 4:23. Jesus did the same thing. So Jesus is our example. And verse 9 says, "So when this was done, the rest of those on the island," man, word got around really quick. They didn't have Facebook Live or YouTube. I mean, word just traveled that this man was healed. And so the rest of those on the island, the Bible says, had diseases, also came, and they were healed. They also honored us in many days and were departed. When we departed, they provided such things as was necessary. So Paul was on this island for 3 months praying, and God moved him, and God set the whole thing up. See, we don't have to have a marketing tool or a marketing gadget to display God's presence or his gifts or how great and awesome God is. All we have to do is be obedient to God. It's not about who we are or what we can do. It's about who he is and what he can do. It's how awesome God is. It is. It's all about God. So Paul was here for 3 months praying and healing the sick. What an amazing vacation. It was all the effect of a disastrous boat shipwreck. He was in a boat, shipwrecked, and so God turned this thing around all out of a disastrous situation. We've got to remember not to despise the little surprises that we get in life. Sometimes we get behind a slow vehicle. I'm talking about a friend of mine. He was behind a slow vehicle one day. Really frustrating. And so we despise some things in life sometimes, but God is leading us to be a blessing to someone else. And so Paul could have got really frustrated by what happened here, but God used him to bring healing about. But not only that, what's most important is that God used him to teach the word of God and to teach about who Jesus is and how great he is. See, it's not necessarily about God bringing a healing to us so that we can say we're healed so we can go about our way. It's that we can see how great God is. We can turn our heart toward him and serve him, and even much more gratitude and love toward God, and know him more, that he loves us so much to give us healing, but even more greater, he can work through us to give us eternity with him. So that's where all this is leading, is to serve God and to love God. He wants us blessed in every way, including healing, and for us to receive the power that he wants to work in and through us. There are different healings in life that many of us need from time to time. There's mental healings for our mind, that we can be healthy and to think on good things. You say, "Well, that's beyond what God can do." No, God can bring a healing in your mind today that will cause you to think on good things, to think on things that are, the Bible says, are of good report. Not to be anxious, not to be fearful, but to believe in Him, to think on good things, so He can bring a mental healing in our lives today. He can bring an emotional healing, an inner man, where we've had past hurts. Has anybody ever been hurt in their past before? Of course you have. We all have. And so sometimes those disappointments or hurts in life will dictate who we are today, and we dwell on that, and we live in that, and it confines us. Well, those things in life that we experienced in the past that are disappointments, that are hurts, God can use that to make us stronger and to trust Him more, to bring about a healing from those emotional pains. He also brings about physical healings, as we saw here with Paul, that God used him to bring about a healing in this man's life, and even in his own life, in our bodies, to fully function the way we were created to. You say, well, Pastor Mike, why do you have a defibrillator, a pacemaker up here? Thank God for technology. You know, God's not limited by my own understanding. He can actually use doctors and medicine and technology to bring about healing in my life. And my heart is still, the doctors say, your heart is still half working. How are you alive? And so it just shows how God is great in His ability to heal us physically. And He heals us spiritually, to where what Satan means for harm, God turns around for good. He breaks chains that hold us back. That could be addictions. That could be things that pull us away from God. It could be people. Any kind of a chain that holds us back from knowing God and serving God, God can miraculously break those things from our life today. And so God desires to do that. He desires to heal our mind, soul, body, and spirit. So that's the healing that God wants to work in our lives today. Secondly, the gift of miracles. God is the God of miracles. God works in unexplainable ways. How can you explain the miracles that God does? We can't explain it. It's unexplainable. It's even unexplainable by trained doctors and those in the medical profession. A miracle is an act of God by which God overrides natural laws by His greater supernatural power. I love the way God works. It's almost like He does it intentionally. Intentionally overrides the ability of us to intellectually understand or put into words, black and white, this is the way miracles take place. You know, I love what my wise doctor says. He says, he shakes his head and he says, miracle man, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. He can't explain it, but he realizes that God's power is greater than his power. Healing comes from God. Josh, when he was 18 years old, many of you have heard this story, when he was 18, he's now 33 years old, in a four-wheeler accident, was rushed to Shands Hospital from a broken shoulder and a busted hip at 18 years old. And so he was in a wheelchair for 3 months, but he lives today without any hindrance from that accident. Praise God. Jordan, just about 9 and a half years ago, she was home from Dallas, Texas, where she was going to Bible school. She's now 29 years old. They both have two children, Josh and his wife, too, and Jordan and her husband, too. Well, she was home had an excruciating headache, turned out to be a tumor. She was rushed to Emory in Atlanta, had to go brain surgery, and the doctor said she's probably not going to ever be the same again. Well, those of you who know Jordan, she's not only beautiful, she's a beautiful wife, a mother, mother of two. Amen. So God does miracles. We have lived miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And so there's a story of Paul and Silas, these two men of God that were put in jail for preaching the gospel. Can you imagine being put in jail and being penalized? And these men were beaten, as we'll see in a moment, in Acts chapter 16, beaten for preaching the gospel. But we're going to see that God creatively accomplishes something greater in their life through this disastrous situation. Acts chapter 16, verse 22 to 34 says, then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Don't let these men out of your sight. Having received such a charge, the jailer put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. In other words, chained them to the floor. Now that will be enough right there to kind of give you a little depression or discouragement or say, well, what's the use? But in verse 25, it says, but at midnight, at 12 o'clock, when they should be sleeping, Paul and Silas were praying and singing. Imagine the gall of these two guys. They were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. So, I mean, if it wasn't bad enough, here comes an earthquake in the middle of all this. So the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposed that all the prisoners had fled. He thought, well, they're gone. So he drew a sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here. You can count us, we're all here. We're having church in here, so don't hurt yourself." Then he called for a light and ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. This dude was a little shaken up. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? How can I experience what you're experiencing?" I mean, this guy's a jailer and watching this, and how in the world can you sing and praise and now you're loosed by that disastrous events of an earthquake? What can I do to have some of what you got? I'll have what he's having, right? So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of God. So they said, you've got to believe. Then they spoke the word of the Lord. Isn't that a lesson for us today? He said, believe. Then he spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. I mean, the church service just rocked on from there. Now, when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them. Now it's going to be a... See, food is in the Bible, y'all. Food is in the Bible. He set food before them and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. God brought a miracle out of all of this stuff. Well, why did they have to go to jail? Why do they have to be beaten? Why do they have to be chained to the floor? Why did the earthquake have to come? See, you may be facing some disastrous situations this morning, but God can bring a miracle out of disaster. He can bring a miracle far beyond your imagination. He can do more than you need done this morning. And he can make it last a lot longer than you can. Amen? He can not only eliminate your debt, but he can make it where you don't have any more debt again. Amen? He can bring disaster out of health problems, financial problems, communication problems or relationship problems, emotional problems. God will use devastation to bring about a miracle. You know what? If we didn't face devastation, why would God bring a miracle? It always takes a battle so that we can experience the victory, right? And so God is a God of miracles. God is a God of miracles even out of disaster. The situation with Paul and Silas was not good. They probably were sitting in that jail thinking, how could we have not wound up here? But then they started praising God. They started singing, the Bible says, and worshiping God. And the results God brought about was better through the devastation. Don't be discouraged because of the place that you're in today. Do not be discouraged because of the devastation that you're facing. John 14:12 says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father." See, miracles aren't about eliminating the problem. Too many times we say, well, God, why haven't you eliminated this problem? I've prayed, I believe, I read my word. You said that I won't have any problems. See, so God doesn't eliminate the problem. He uses the problem as the entrance for the miracle. Don't despise the problem. I mean, we don't like problems. We'd rather have life with no problems. And many times we intentionally lay low just so that we can divert any problems. I'm going to go this way, and so there's a problem there, and I'm going to go around this way. And so many times we miss a blessing, we miss a great miracle in our life because we're just trying to skirt by and just not to make a fuss. I'm not saying go out and do something crazy. I'm just saying that we need to trust God in the miracle. Don't look at your problem and say, well, that's bigger than I am. Well, you know what? The problem is probably bigger than you are and I am. And there probably is only limited things that we can do to get out of a problem. But God takes pleasure in working about miracles for his people to show how great and awesome he is. There is nothing bigger than God. There's no sickness bigger than God. There's no problem. There's no situation. There's no devastation. There's no earthquake bigger than God. God is bigger than what you face today. So I'm going to give you three things that we can do to experience the gifts that I'm talking about today. There are three simple steps out of the Word of God that we can do to experience healing and miracles. And the first is, this is big, believe God. Believe God. Take Him at His word. If the Bible says it, believe it. But Mike, you don't understand. You don't understand my situation. I love what a preacher said one time. He's going to write a book on the butts of the Bible. Because every time we come into a situation, we say, but God. And so we make an excuse. Yeah, God, I know you can do miracles. I know you can do healings. But what about this? And so many times the butts in our life winds up kicking out the possibilities of God. We limit God's hand because we don't believe God. That's really simple to say and really simple to read and to hear. But sometimes our flesh and our intellect, and we're so smart and wise that it gets in the way of me really believing that God will do what He said He would do. Believe God. Believe God. When the jailer asked Paul, he said, what do I have to do to get what you've got? Paul simply said, believe. That's our first step right there, is to believe God. We've got to believe Him, that what He says is truth. And anything that God says is truth. There's no truth that triumphs the truth of God's word. And so we have to believe God. God, throughout the Word of God, He speaks of childlike faith. You say, well, you mean as an adult I've got to have childlike faith? Yeah, pretty much, because our adult-like faith is beyond our ability to believe God. We reasoned everything together. We talked about this last week when we talked about faith, in that we've got to try to understand it. If we can't understand it or describe it or explain it, it's hard for us to believe it because it can't be so. But a child, it's like little Bailey and Silas. When they were young, they would go to the edge of the bed in our bedroom. They'd climb on the bed, get up there, and I'd be about to walk in the room, and they're on the end of the bed soaring in midair, believing that G-Paw's going to catch them. And, of course, G-Paw starts to sweat and starts to run. He says, I got to catch this child. But the belief and the faith in that child is that I'm going to catch them before they fall. So that's the belief, that not that we're going to go jumping off beds, but we do face life. We face things in life that if we knew that God would take care of us, we would take the chance. But God may not take care of me, so I'm not going to take the chance. Did you know that God wants us to be adventurous? Look how adventurous God is. I mean, number one, He made us. You know, sometimes He's got to be kicked back with His heels up saying, man alive, they really tickle me. But if we knew that God had our back many times, we would do what God's called us to do, have childlike faith to trust Him that He will do what He said He will do. We've got to have faith in God's abilities more than we have faith in our own abilities. See, I know my abilities, and if I stay within that, then I'm safe. Outside of that, it's a little scary. Well, it is for me. It is for us, because we've got to trust, we've got to believe God that He's going to take care of us. And I could tell you many, many stories today. But in John 1:12 says, but as many, and you had this on the screen, just make a note of John 1:12, says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. Belief is the key to receiving salvation. We've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we will be saved. It's the same belief. It's the same believing in God that we use in receiving salvation that we have when we trust God to get us out of a pickle. You say, well, I would, but I got myself in this situation, so I've got to get myself out. Has anybody ever said that? You know, I'm here because of a mistake I've made, so I got myself here, so I'm going to get myself out. Well, if God was the God for the perfect and those that never made a mistake or did no harm, then that will be one thing. But I'm here to tell you today that I'm standing here because I am not that person. I'm not the one who has never made mistakes. I'm not the one who has done everything right in my life. And so God, in His miraculous grace, power, and love, has set my feet here today on a solid ground because of who He is, not because of who I am, I promise you. I've got a witness right here. Amen. Believe in His name. The second thing is, depend on God. We can believe God, But then we've got to depend on God. God, I believe you, and I'll let you know if I need you. I believe you. But then we've got to depend on God. If we believe God, if we truly believe in God, then we should be able to depend on God. He wants us to depend on him. The Bible would say many, many times over and over, rely on God. So maybe that would be better said to say rely on God. But it's to depend on God that we put full faith in him, that when we jump off, he is there to catch us. And there very well may be a time, now I may be a little different than you, but there could be a time that God will cause you to jump off just so that you could test your ability to trust him to catch you. Depend on God. 1 Peter 5:7 says this. Just make a note of this verse too. You've heard it. But it says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That's a depending on God. When we can cast all. It didn't say some. It didn't say specific ones. They have to fit in this category. You work through the formula. If you've dealt with government forms, you'll see one question turns out to be 20 pages long. And so God doesn't work that way. It is what he says it is. When he says casting all your care, what does he mean? All your care. Every concern, every hindrance, every fear. You're human. So there are some times in your life that you have some concerns. You may face some fears. You may face some things that, you know what, I'm just going to stay home today because I don't feel like seeing any sunshine. But he says if we cast all of our care on him, he cares for us, no matter how small, no matter how big, no matter how simple, no matter how complicated. He says that all of our concerns, we can rely, we can depend on him because he cares for you. He cares about your situation. He cares about your need. He cares about that thing that's hindering you in life. Let him bring a miracle in your life to show you how great he is. Well, maybe he's got somebody else he needs to tend to today. Maybe tomorrow I'll give him everything. No, he's pretty good about multitasking. So he can take care of all of us at one time. He can make everything work together for good to those, not to him, to those who love God and called according to purpose. That means all of us here today can at one time pray, trust God, believe, and see him work a miracle all simultaneously. I don't understand it, but he does it. Lastly, pray and fast. We must pray and fast. Why do we have to pray and fast? So that our mind can be tuned in with the mind of Christ. Because God has such a different way of doing things. The more I pray, and we don't like that four-letter word fast. That's a tough one because that means I've got to give up fried pork chops and roast and biscuits and banana pudding. But whatever it is that means, some people it might be Facebook. Some people it might be something that consumes your attention every single day. Maybe it's ice cream at night for a friend of mine that likes to eat ice cream at night. So maybe it's fasting, something that means something to us, but it's a setting aside of something that means, that's important to us, that we can listen to God, that we pray, but that we're giving a sacrifice of who we are to be more in tune with God. And so as we take time to pray and to fast, we are more in tune with him, which builds our faith even more that when we face these times and struggles and challenges in life that we can trust him to bring about. We can believe a lot easier by praying and fasting. We can rely and depend on God by praying and fasting because we know him more. See, those grandchildren know me pretty well. And so they rely and they depend on me because they know that I'm going to break my neck getting there to them. Take care of them, right? And so the more we know God, the more we pray, the more we fast, the more in tune we are with God. I mean, our faith can be so high that we can believe God for anything. Anything. Acts 13:3, just make a note of this. It says, then having fasted and prayed, and laid hands on them, they sent them away. God built in them the power to minister the gospel through the fasting and praying, and then in obedience, laying on hands by the Spirit of God. Depend on God, believe God, and then we can receive what God has. God wants you to receive. What's causing us not to receive? It's these three things, I believe. We've got to believe God. We've got to depend on Him. We've got to rely on Him. We've got to trust Him. And then we've got to stay in continued communication. We've got to pray and fast and say, God, I want to trust You more. I want to believe You more. And then it's just a continuous cycle. We don't stop. We continually stay in that. And your faith will grow to a place. I mean, many of you here today, and you're still waiting on that miracle. I'm praying with you, and I'm believing God with you that that miracle is going to come about. But we're never to stop believing and trusting, relying on God, praying and fasting that it will be done. It doesn't matter if it takes a day or 100 days or 20 years. We continue to trust God because we know we can have full confidence in knowing that He's going to bring it about in the very perfect timing. Even if we think it's 3 days late, it's still right on time. There's something God will bring out of your disaster because He desires that we operate fully in His gifts. These are two gifts that He has no hindrance to bring about in our life. Now, God is not an entertainer. God is not a magician. He's not flashy. He doesn't, you know, he does what He does because of the power that His Father gave Him. And so God gave Him the power to do these things, and He wants to do them because you're His children. He loves you. And so we can trust Him to do those things today, and He's a good Father. We sung about it today, Wendy. We sung about how great God is and how awesome God is, His power is, and He continues to pour out His gifts. And He wants us to operating in those gifts. And I believe that today being Father's Day 2020, with all the confusion that's going on in this world today, with all the confusion and heartache and hurt and misunderstandings, there are great things that God wants to do right in the midst of what we're seeing today. There will be no greater healing than to allow Jesus to mend broken hearts today. There will be no greater healing to say, God, I need You to heal me today. I need You to heal my broken spirit, my broken heart. I need You to heal me physically. I need You to heal my emotions. And there will be no greater miracle today, no greater miracle than to see God pour out His love and to wrap us in His love today on Father's Day, to allow God to accomplish you. And maybe there are some fathers here today that you're dealing with some things in life that maybe nobody else knows about. You've got some responsibility on your shoulders that you feel like you have no one to turn to. I want to encourage you today that God is here to bring about a miracle of healing, of miracles, of turning things around for His good and for your good, to encourage you today. Don't let the things of the past mold you. Don't let the circumstances and the situations and failures maybe mold who you are. Allow the good Father, the great God of Almighty, to mold and make who you are today. Those things in our past, yes, we'll never forget them, but no, we're not to dwell there. We're to come out of those things and let God build in us a greater faith to trust Him even more and more. As Wendy comes and the worship team comes this morning, as I was praying this morning, I said, God, there have been so many experiences, being married 35 years and raising two children and then all the health and situations being in our life. I thought, well, God, is there a story today that I could tell that I could relate how great You are? And as I was sitting in the chair this morning, and I told John Rivers last Sunday, I said, it's amazing that I could study for days and weeks preparing for Sunday service, and I get up early on Sunday morning, and lo and behold, God's got something else for me to say. It's like, God, can't You give that to me on Wednesday or Thursday when I've got some time to think about it? I get up early on Sunday, and he just pours it out. He said, here, this, and I write it as fast as I can. And just no sooner that I got that out of my mouth, and I sat in the chair and had my eyes closed, He dropped this in my spirit. And I don't know that I've ever told you before. I hope Crystal even knows the story. And you'll know in a moment why she may not know. Josh was about, I guess, 5 years old, 6 years old, and Jordan would have been so tiny that she wouldn't have been allowed out with Daddy that day. But I had an old boat. And so me and Papa decided, me and Crystal's dad, and we're still close to this day, we decided that we were going to take the boat out on this day. And so we were there at the old ramp at Turtle, if y'all know Turtle River on Blythe Island, you know there's an old boat ramp there, and it may still be there. But I had backed that old boat down, and it was me, Papa, and Josh. We were going to show Josh some boating, and so we We had backed the boat down on the ramp there, and I was watching Josh. Josh was standing there. Of course, he was just enamored. He was, oh, his eyes were big, and he was so excited he was going to go fishing with Daddy and Papa. And I was excited. We were taking that boat out. It was going to be in the river. And so Papa, he made sure the plug was in the boat, and he was seeing to that. And I had just backed the boat down in the water, and I turned and looked, and Josh had slipped off the edge of the ramp. And if you know those old ramps, they become real slimy, the water coming up and going down. And that, I mean, it was just, and I had noticed it earlier that it was real slick there on the edge. And so I kind of kept Josh back behind me a little bit while I was unroping the front of that boat as we were going to let it off into the water and get ready to go out. And so the trailer was still there. And as I turned, I saw Josh. He slipped off the edge, and all I could see was his hand, the tip of his hand. He was already under. And so the water was deep right there. And I immediately dropped everything in my hand and ran over to where Josh was. And I just did grab his hand. Had I not been there at that second, I don't know that I would have seen his hand. But I grabbed Josh's hand and snatched him out of the water and set him up. And of course, I didn't want to look worried. But believe me, it nearly scared the life out of me. And so when I snatched Josh's hand up, he looked at me and kind of gasped for air. And I said, "You're okay, buddy. You're okay." He patted him on the back. I'm thinking, God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. And this morning is almost like when I hadn't thought about that in years. Had I ever told you that, baby? I had told you. Okay, thank God. I honestly didn't remember ever telling you that. But as I thought about it, it was almost like I was right there again. I felt the emotions and a knot in my stomach is an understatement. I mean, just petrified. And as I thought about that this morning, it was like God was saying, you know what? Those times when you slip and fail, I've been there. Those times when I've seen you just about go under and you raised your hand and you didn't think that I was there, I was there. And God assured me that he would never leave us nor forsake us, that he will be with us until the very end. So no matter where you are today, no matter how deep you are, no matter how far gone you are, no matter how hopeless you think you are, we serve a good Father today that is able. He's able. We've got to believe him. We've got to rely on him, depend on him. We've got to continue to pray and fast. We've got to continue to stay in communication with our Heavenly Father. He has the answers. He has the answers to this world we're living in today. Don't get so caught up in the news today that you lose sight of who God is. But trust God. Stay in his word and know, in spite of the things that we hear today, in spite of all the confusion and the heartache and the struggles, that God is still God. That God is still our good Father, and he loves you. And he'll snatch you out of that water. He'll snatch you out of that pit. He'll snatch you up from that miry clay, slap you on the back and say, buddy, you're okay. Get up and let's go again. And he will never bring it up to your face again. If that thing ever comes up to you again, you know it's not God. It's the devil trying to deceive you and trying to blame you and trying to make you think this or think that or think the other. My God is too good a Father. He loves you too much to bring up anything from your past in your face. My God loves you too much. I want us to stand together in honor of Father's Day. Father, thank you for how great and how mighty you are. You're awesome, God. There's nothing too big for you. There's no need that's represented here today that is bigger than you. There's no devastation in this life that we are facing or will ever face that is bigger than you. God, you are awesome. And today, here on Father's Day 2020, where the world is not necessarily at peace and where the world is kind of in a state of confusion right now, Lord, you're still in authority. You're still in control. You're still God. You're still alive and well. You're still our Heavenly Father. You're still here, even as our earthly Father, God. You promised to never leave us. You promised to never forsake us. But you said you will be with us to the very end. And that means, Lord, until the last breath we breathe on this earth, and then when that happens, we'll be with you in heaven. So, Lord, you're always with us, through thick and thin, through the step off of the ramp into the water, through the kind of dumb things that we do sometimes. God, you're still with us. You're still with us. Father, we love you. We so love you. If you feel like you, just raise your hands to the Lord this morning. Lord, I pray that as we raise our hands this morning, I ask Crystal if you'll come up and join me, baby. As we raise our hands to the Lord this morning, Lord, I pray that you'll pour out your healing today, no matter how great it is, no matter how complicated it is, Lord. Whatever healing that we have need of today, we submit it to you. As we raise our hands, you're just giving it to God. We give it to you, Lord. We give it all to you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you bring healing in our hearts today. Our mind, our soul, and our spirit, Lord. In our bodies, Lord. Bring healing, Lord. We know that you're here, that your presence is here. Lord, we know that even those that are watching by Facebook Live, God, that your presence goes to them today too. Your hand is not short. We love you, Lord. We thank you that every answer we need today, every answer we need, comes through your mouth and through your hand, through your word. And you're not limited. Your word says that all things are possible to those who believe. So, Lord, we believe today. And I ask you, Lord, as we raise our hands to you in surrender, God, that you'll take something that may be bad in our life and turn it around for good, like only you can do. Even through earthquake, through fire, and through a viper, God, you bring about healing. You bring about joy. You bring about peace. You bring about confidence in you and faith that we can trust you for anything in our life today. Thank you, Lord. I pray now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you his everlasting peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.